理课堂听 class.com
Disc 2
Hector led the Baudelaires around one last corner, and the children got their first glimpse of where they would be living. The street they had been walking on simply ended at the turn of the corner, leading them to a place as wide and as flat as the countryside they had crossed that afternoon, with just three shapes standing out on the flat horizon. The first was a large, sturdy-looking house, with a pointed roof and a front porch big enough to contain a picnic table and four wooden chairs. The second was an enormous barn, right next to the house, that hid the studio and library Hector had been talking about. But it was the third shape that caused the Baudelaires to stare. The third shape on the horizon was Nevermore Tree, but to simply say it was a tree would be like saying the Pacific Ocean was a body of water, or that Count Olaf was a grumpy person, or that the story of Beatrice and myself was just a little bit sad. Nevermore Tree was gargantuan, a word which here means having attained an inordinate amount of botanical volume, a phrase which here means it was the biggest tree the Baudelaires had ever seen. Its trunk was so wide that the Baudelaires could have stood behind it along with an elephant, three horses, and an opera singer, and not have been seen from the other side. Its branches spread out in every direction, like a fan that was taller than the house and wider than the barn, and the tree was made even taller and wider by what was sitting in it. Every last VFD crow was roosting in its branches, adding a thick layer of muttering black shapes to the immense silhouette of the tree. Because the crows had gotten to Hector's house as the crow flies, instead of walking, the birds had arrived long before the Baudelaires, and the air was filled with the quiet rustling sounds of the birds settling in for the evening. A few of the birds had already fallen asleep, and the children could hear a few crow snores as they approached their new home.
"What do you think?" Hector asked.
"It's marvellous," Violet said.
"It's superlative," Klaus said.
"Argue fod,"
Sunny said, which meant, what a lot of crows. "The noises of the crows might sound strange at first," Hector said, leading the way up the steps of the house. "But you'll get used to them before long. I always leave the windows open when I go to bed. The sounds of the crows remind me of the ocean, and I find it very peaceful to listen to them as I drift off to sleep. Speaking of bed, I'm sure you must be very tired. I've prepared three rooms for you upstairs, but if you don't like them, you can choose other ones. There's plenty of room in the house. There's even room for the Quagmires to live here when we find them. It sounds like the five of you would be happy living together, even if you had to do the chores of an entire town."
"That sounds delightful," Violet said, smiling at Hector.
It made the children happy just to think of the two triplets being safe and sound, instead of in Count Olaf's clutches. "Duncan is a journalist, so maybe he could start a newspaper. Then VFD wouldn't have to read all of the mistakes in the Daily Punctilio." "And Isadora is a poet," Klaus said. "She could write a book of poetry for the library, as long as she didn't write poetry about things that were against the rules." Hector started to open the door of his house, but then paused and gave the Baudelaires a strange look.
"A poet?" he asked. "What kind of poetry does she write?"
"Couplets," Violet replied.
Hector gave the children a look that was even stranger. He put down the Baudelaires' suitcases and reached into the pocket of his overalls.
"Couplets?"
he asked.
"Yes," Klaus said. "She likes to write rhyming poems that are two lines long."
Hector gave the youngsters a look that was one of the strangest they had ever seen, and took his hand out of his pocket to show them a scrap of paper rolled into a tiny scroll.
"Like this?"
he asked, and unrolled the paper. The Baudelaire orphans had to squint to read it in the dying light of the sunset, and when they read it once, they had to read it again, to make sure that the light wasn't playing tricks on them, and that they had read what was really there on the scrap of paper, in shaky but familiar handwriting. "For sapphires we are held in here. Only you can end our fear."